Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us till this country that we love's undivided.
Yup. You either go to church or you're gonna go to hell. Get a job and work or you're gonna go to jail. I just kinda wish we didn't think like that. Why's it gotta be all white or all black? And when we gonna learn to try on someone's shoes sometimes?
That's right.
When we gonna start to see from someone else's eyes?
I think it's time to come together. You and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference. Make world a better place. Look around and love somebody. We've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us till this country that we love's undivided. Oh yeah, undivided.
Welcome back.
Maybe it requires action and effort, as Lark in Texas reminds us, not what we do, not what we say, or excuse me, not what we say. You know, we can talk a lot. There's an increase of chatter these days, right? It's what we do. It's the action makes a difference. And speaking of that, it's fascinating to me that, you know, the docile herds are just waiting for the message from the telescreen to rise up and revolt. You know, I have talked recently about, or had conversations recently about Washington State erecting fencing around the Capitol in Olympia. And it's astonishing to me that things like this happen and people don't see it as a essentially a declaration of war. Why would you do that? It reminds me of back in 2006 when I was concerned when all of the state pandemic response plans, influenza pandemic response plans, just materialized and were adopted in 50 states. That's not strange all of a sudden. And that was a result of some disingenuous work by, you know, Robert Cadlick and friends. If you're not familiar, read Whitney Webb's work and you'll get knowledged up real quick. So here's an article, Yahoo News, Washington's Capitol building fenced in after riots. No, that's the wrong one. That's not Washington State, not Washington State, not D.C. Where is it? Not D.C. I don't know. Not D.C. Washington State. You know, speaking again of the January 6th nonsense, I mean, it's come to light now. It's just an established fact that there were, again, more agents on scene than not. And those are the provocateurs, as some folks have been asking on social media, who is Ray Epps? How come so many of these guys got turned loose? And then there are other folks who are rotting in jail. What's going on there? Let's see. Michigan, Virginia, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania. Speaking of Michigan, there was a plot to kidnap the governor. Yeah, brought to you by the FBI, as usual. Again, another established fact. Babylon Bee did a humorous satire video on that we played recently. Michigan, Virginia, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Washington State were among more than a dozen states that activated their National Guards to strengthen security. And erected fencing. So, yeah, that's not what I'm looking for. Anyway, you get the point. So, it's just astonishing to me that, you know, we see these things happening and people are waiting. You know, with the vaccine mandates and everything rolling out, the national vaccine mandate hasn't even rolled out yet. That's what, a week away? And still, states and companies are enacting things. We're going full tilt Nazi as fast as we possibly can. Rapid descent. It's astonishing. And, you know, I hear people talking about stuff like local legislators saying things, but where is their constituency rallying peacefully to show up and say, you know, maybe to get together in analog fashion, which is much more difficult to eavesdrop on? Don't do it in a Facebook group. I'm just saying that's kind of where, you know, all of this information is headed, I suppose, at least in part. I mean, we are coming full circle. Jim Lewis, Net War, the advent of Net War. I've talked about this for a long time, naturally. Nope, sorry, that page is, what's going on here? You can't look at that. This page does not exist. That's funny. Very interesting. So I can't look at the advent of Net War Jim Lewis, or excuse me, John Arquilla and David Ronfeld. They talked about this conflict. You know, it's kind of the internet or the cyber equivalent of Huntington's Clash of Civilizations. The military, intelligence, internet counterpart to Huntington's Clash of Civilizations. That's what the advent of Net War was, published back in 1996. These guys are saying the internet is going to give rise to all of these groups and things. How did they know? Because they were creating this thing. So anyway, gathering information on people, using that information to surveil them, to spy on them, and in some cases to manipulate them, cause people to do things. You know, Google manipulating search results. That's an established fact. Here's an article. Yahoo News. Google's search leaves users in the dark, says DuckDuckGo CEO. DuckDuckGo seems to be following suit. If you use Google's search engine, there's no way of knowing what you're missing, says Gabriel Weinberg, CEO and founder of DuckDuckGo. This was 2018, whose company released a study Tuesday claiming that Google is manipulating America's search results, American search results. The study concludes that Google is editorializing, providing different search results. The editorialized search, and Eric Schmidt even has talked about this. The editorialized search results are, and they've talked about how, you know, with, you know, they use these manipulated search results in YouTube, for example, to steer people away from radicalized content. You know, people searching for ISIS kind of stuff. Well, what if you're a reporter trying to do some investigation? Look, this guy has all this. He's viewed all of these pages about ISIS, blah, blah, blah. He must be self-radicalizing. Maybe he's just a reporter. Maybe he's just somebody trying to understand the issues. Investigating for himself, God forbid. Google forbid. Eric Schmidt forbid. So this article says 72 U.S. participants in the study entered three independent Google search terms, gun control, immigration, and vaccinations, using a desktop Chrome browser at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on July 24, 2018. Unique results were returned for 68% of private searches for gun control, 57% for immigration, and 92% for vaccinations. According to the study, Google returned these filtered results regardless of whether participants searched in private incognito or non-private mode. It's exactly opposite of what people would expect, Weinberg said. And, you know, there have been other studies on this. Again, this is, you know, Google says we do it ostensibly to protect people. Google, and then here's another Business Insider article. Google reportedly manipulates search results to hide controversial subjects and favor big business. Google is reportedly manipulating Google search results in favor of big business, according to a new Wall Street Journal report. Additionally, Google is said to manipulate autocomplete results to remove sensitive subjects, including abortion and immigration. The tech giant has denied manipulating Google search, even though they admit to it in places like YouTube. Like I said, they openly say, well, we're trying to steer people away from radicalized content. Okay, but what about these other issues? We can't talk about that. I'm sorry, Dave. Those issues don't exist. So Google is how? Though various publications have repeatedly reported as much, and this is... there's a link to the 2014 Business Insider article. Google allegedly manipulates results for Yelp. I mean, if you're willing to pay for manipulated search results, JCPenney got in trouble. Remember that? I talked about that years ago, 2010, 11. JCPenney got in trouble for hiring an offshore black hat company to manipulate search results, and it was working famously. Everything you searched in Google at the time brought several JCPenney pages up. It didn't matter what you searched. It was anything. It was like, I think at last count, it was like 60,000 terms that they had sort of co-opted to direct traffic to JCPenney. And it's working famously. And then there was that New York Times article, and within hours, Google had essentially... blacked out JCPenney on the internet. They had censored JCPenney, which, you know, you don't want the manipulated search results. And that was the time that Google started saying, you know what, we're just going to crawl the pages and we're going to grab metadata, information about the page, because we used to put the metadata in the page. And more and more, Google, who is the leader in search and sort of dictates the landscape, has said, we're less concerned with what you want to do, because there has been keyword stuffing going on since the beginning of metadata. Obviously, people want to say, yeah, this page is about this and this and this and this and this. Even though it might not necessarily address those things, they want to direct traffic. People want to direct traffic to these pages. So, again, metadata. Not to belabor this issue, it's just astonishing. So it's the collection of data to surveil people and also to manipulate people. And the transition of Facebook to Meta represents this effort. It's in your face. It's unbelievable. Like I said in the first hour, the new Facebook you know, image might as well be, instead of the thumb, the thumbs up, it might as well be a giant middle finger to people. What are you going to do about it? Yeah, this is what we've been doing it. We're going to keep doing it. What are you going to do about it? It's an established fact that Facebook has conducted psychological experimentation on its users. It's manipulated people, not just the folks harvesting that data for example, Michael Kaczynski's work at Cambridge Analytica, but Facebook does it internally and has admitted to doing it. Mining data to surveil users, to manipulate users in psychometric experiments. And yet, people still use it and let their children use it. There's the admission by Sean Parker, you know, that Facebook and all social media exploits the social validation feedback loop that is, according to studies, more addictive than heroin. This dopamine feedback loop becomes more addictive than heroin. That's why kids freak out when their phones are taken away. But still, parents let children use this stuff. It's astonishing. This is the subversion of America happening right before our very eyes. And yet people want to use these things. Well, what would we do? I don't know. Maybe a little more analog, a little less digital. What would happen if we actually started getting together again? There is a concerted effort to push people away, to nudge you, to influence you away from getting together, to dissuade you and discourage you from getting together. High gas prices, you know, mandates of all kinds, masks, vaccines, whatever, in the travel stations, airports especially. So things are expensive, you know, inflation, gas prices. Maybe we should just communicate online. It's much easier. Let's do a Zoom call, which dovetails right into Facebook's initiative. You can live online now. Isn't it going to be great? You won't be tracked. It's okay. You won't be manipulated. It's astonishing. More analog, less digital, more real. So, speaking of Bill Binney, they will play a few minutes of this in the next segment. The United States of Secrets Frontline series, including the Bill Binney interview. He spelled it out in the beginning, you know, even the beginning of that interview. Metadata. Before September 11, 2001, so we have all of this metadata. Phone metadata, email metadata. And let me just say this. I will conclude this thought. Speaking of the Utah Data Center, from the Wikipedia page for the Utah Data Center, Wikipedia, the pedestrian, you know, sanitized, whitewashed version of history. Purpose. In April 2009, officials of the United States Department of Justice acknowledged that the NSA had engaged in a large-scale over-collection of domestic communications in excess of the United States Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court authority, but claimed that the acts were unintentional and had since been rectified. In August 2012, the New York Times published short documentaries by independent filmmakers titled The Program, based on interviews with former NSA technical director and whistleblower William Binney. What was the result of that? Stick around, I'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free.
Welcome back.
You know how I feel.
Back in the old days, NSA stood for no such agency. Since, 2001, and particularly since the retirement of Bill Binney from the NSA in October 2001, the NSA has increasingly come into view. It's not the only agency to be concerned about, but it's kind of the poster child for the surveillance apparatus. And Bill Binney has been outspoken. He's been in a number of films. There's a new one, A Good American. Maybe we'll play the trailer for that. Well, actually, The Good A Good American was a 2015 documentary. I thought there was another one that's out recently. Anyway, he's been in several though. I mean, like the PBS Frontline interviews. Anyway, we'll come back to that. Let's go to the phones and grab Lark in Texas. Lark, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Oh, well, my pleasure.
Good morning,
to
sir.
Hear your
voice.
Well,
too.
You know, it's been a while. I just have to say, you know, I'm 67 now, Chris. And, you know, Nikki's 65. And, you know, I think that we're fast approaching a time where or when it is rather much a moral as well as an economic imperative that we begin breaking free from this technology altogether.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I say that, especially, is, you know, you spoke of metadata.
Yeah.
Well, increasingly, we're dealing with nanotech and biometrics as well.
Yep.
You know, as I speak with you right now, they're painting the skies overhead with stripes. I'm on my patio. I'm cognizant. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say you're getting ahead of me. I'm definitely planning on getting to that because it folds into this discussion. And, you know, it's not just the metadata that's collected outside of us, so to speak. It's also the more invasive version of the same efforts, which is what you're talking about. And the term, the operative term for that, for folks who are interested, is interoception. So.
Well, that's a term that even I was not aware of, but that's good to know.
Yeah.
You know, you're speaking to a guy that's, you know, suffered through two brain seizures, requiring hospitalization, and by all rights, I should be dead. It was only perchance that Laura was even home that I'm even still alive.
Wow.
You know, all the years I've devoted to research, I look up one day and realize they installed a smart meter on my house. You know, only 2 weeks ago, I got a call from out of the blue. Somebody was doing a wellness check on me.
Yeah.
And I didn't even think to ask what company did they work for? You know, how did they acquire the information to even suggest that I might need a wellness check? I think it has to do with the fact if you're a Social Security retiree, these are the people at the top of the list. But instead, what I did was practically slam the phone down and yell at the robot-like presence at the other end of the call. You know, I remember when I moved into this house in suburbia and 13 years ago, I thought, well, I have to get a landline. I have to get a landline. And we don't have such a thing anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
There is no such thing anymore as a landline. But, I have often said that Ted Kaczynski, another Kaczynski, was actually right.
Mm-hmm. No question.
You know, and with his college, it started with his college doctoral thesis.
Yeah.
You know, industrial society and its future.
Yeah.
But quite candidly, we are being we're being separated from reality just by mm-hmm. even engaging with this technology. You know, we consume more media today than any people ever in human history. And I'd like to remind people there's a woman named Linda Stone, lindastone.net. She has done TED Talks. She's quite in demand. She's quite the corporate beast. And she's been around for a while. But she asked the question, what is continuous partial attention?
Mm-hmm.
Which he differentiates clearly between that and multitasking. So I know that people like yourself and Vicki Davis are quite acclimated to this technology. I have always felt creepy about it, really, since the 70s. And as you already know, I was a late adopter. But I've got to tell you, I would like to hear your thoughts about it, not only being a moral and economic imperative that we disassociate with this technology, particularly creatures like Facebook and the like. But what about this idea that this is actually harmful to human health? I mean, we have a guy in Israel named Shimon Janowitz.
Mm-hmm.
Shimon Janowitz, who has been, we've been trying to connect with Dr. Martin Paul. But, you know, Dr. Paul got the jabs.
Wow.
It's what I tell people all the time. I said, even these eggheads in academia, yeah. the college students that never left,
yeah.
that became professors and the like, and then they want to capitalize on all that knowledge they've got, so they can get book deals and honoraria and invitations to conferences, you know, that are for which they're well compensated. I mean, these people are leading us to ruin.
Your confirmation bias is lying to you, sir, right? I mean, like Chamath Palihapitiya said back in 2017 to the academics at the Stanford School of Business talk, you guys are the most vulnerable. You've been checkboxing your whole expletive lives.
Well, these people are the ones that have demonstrated that they are quite willing to do anything to succeed.
Yeah.
And I've pointed this out, you know, that...
Well, and success is a relative term in this case, right?
It certainly is, especially when it comes to things like well-being and economy. I mean, how does this contribute to well-being that we're all doing Zoom calls and, to this day, I've been making an effort to reach out to the locals.
Yeah.
And because I've been living like a hermit, you know, for 15 years, and it's because I just feel like I have nothing to say to these people around me. I'm surrounded by zombies and criminals.
Yep.
But now I'm starting to see that I'm a part of the problem too, even by participating in this charade of artificial reality and so forth. I mean, the very fact that we're talking right now irritates me because I'm using this technology.
Yeah, I agree. I have been speaking on this broadcast for a while now about how I keep reminding folks of what you say. It's not what we say. It's not what we think. It's not what we believe. We can do those things, and there's more chatter. I mean, I mentioned that earlier today, but as you say, it's what we do, and what are folks doing? There's a lot of whining going on, and while the whining happens, people just keep marching along down the primrose path of destruction. And I have been making an effort in my own life to move to more analog and less digital, to put it generally, in the similar sense that you're talking about.
Yeah, I am not, as you know, I'm a technophobe. I've resisted even learning about this technology as much as possible.
I don't know. You're a paradox, I would say. You're a technophile and a technophobe at the same time. You've come to understand quite a bit of it, so.
Well, what I'm doing now is I'm actually trying to organize strategy sessions with people that are in the know. Or
and you're doing, you have a Facebook group for that, right? Just kidding. Anyway, being facetious.
No. Actually, the truth is I have only in the last year started following certain people on Facebook. I've always followed Nikki, but I don't ever reply to anything. You know, I just lurk. Nikki went off. She stopped doing her blog like around 2009. and she invited her regular readers to join her on Facebook. And so I always wanted to support her efforts, and that's the only reason I even joined or even signed up with an account. Mm-hmm. But now we have this group of people that I call the Mad Mommies. I mean, if there's anything that's going to save humanity, America, anything, you know, the things that we hold dear, most precious in our lives, frankly, I see it has to be the mothers, the moms.
Absolutely. And I remember, I think it was about 10 years ago when I remember Glenn Beck saying, to his credit, when you look historically at societies, when moms, when the ladies start to turn sociopathic and psychopathic, then we're really in trouble. And obviously that's, you know, he was telling us that's what's been happening in America for some time now.
Well, there's a lady on Facebook. Her name's Julianne Romanello from Tulsa, mm-hmm. for instance. And she has four small children, and she teaches philosophy at the University of Tulsa. But she was raised Roman Catholic, and so she's a religious person. And then locally to me, there's Lynn Strawn Davenport, also a mom. Her youngest is a high school senior. And then there's people like Alison McDowell in Philadelphia pointing out that communitarianism, not in her words, my words, it's every bit as much a capitalist phenomenon as a communist phenomenon. Mm-hmm. Because it's a synthesis of these two particular isms. And this is why I say that the American people are blindly being buffalo jumped. Because, I mean, I remember back in the 90s, in the early 2000s, I mean, I had business colleagues and clients that were really high on biotech stocks, mm-hmm. you know, private offering memorandum and, you know, raising capital and all this other kind of stuff. And I would ask them, I said, well, gee, do you think this is safe, what these people are doing? And they said, well, you know, we got all the latest scientists, you know, and these are some of our people that we have on board. And of course, they've got bona fides CV as long as your arm, each one of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I don't want to belabor the conversation, but to tell you that I appreciate everything you do, and I still listen pretty much religiously to your broadcast. I should tell you that I've burned through four computers and at least as many dumb phones over time since I started this journey back in 2004. Mm-hmm. And so I no longer have contact information for you except email, for which I seldom have ever received any kind of response from you. I do send out email.
Let's fix that. You know, I will apologize to all the listeners too while we're having this conversation. You can certainly understand how overwhelming things are on a daily basis, especially like in your case, like you said. I mean, it's been a few years, and for Nikki, it's been a few years, and that's frustrating. I mean, anybody who knows, you know, it's astonishing. Like I was just saying about the state pandemic influenza response plans. I remember being at the Coeur d'Alene Library in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho in 2006, talking to the panel of experts, the Panhandle Health contingent, at their consensus building exercise, essentially trying to tell people what was going on, reading from the pandemic influenza response plan and trying to get people's attention to say, is this not a concern? And from the document, actually, maybe I can find a... Do I have a copy of that real quick? Yeah, I think this is it. Yep. So from the document, 2006, March 2006, I went through this before the meeting. Whoops. I didn't want to do that. Darn it. Where did it go now? There it is. Okay. So, sorry for the delay. Keeps moving around on me. Okay. So there we go. I went through and highlighted this March 2006. They have this meeting, consensus building meeting. And from this document, it says, this is the Idaho Department of Health and Welfare Pandemic Influenza Response Plan. And it says, during a pandemic, many agencies, organizations, private institutions will need to work in a coordinated and collaborative manner. Oh, you mean like continuity of government kind of thing? Anyway, surveillance, healthcare systems, community disease and control. So right from the beginning, the introduction, purpose, scope, policies, under Section C, policies, it says the decision to implement the response phase of this plan will be made by the state health official. And so I was saying, who is the state health official? Who is this mysterious person? How do we know? Where can we know who this person is? How is this person determined? Are they elected? Are they appointed? Is this not a concern, people? One person determines when to implement the response phase. Okay, but what's the big deal? Well, it says the decision to terminate the response portion of this plan and begin recovery operation will also be made by the state health official. The criteria for termination may include the pandemic is contained. These are bullet points. So bullet point one, the pandemic is contained. Bullet point two, mass vaccination or chemoprophylaxis is complete and mass dispensing clinics are closed. And bullet point three, the imminent public health threat has diminished and or the outbreak did not materialize. So I was saying, you're telling me that this one person might declare, might implement this response phase to a pandemic, which may include mass vaccination, even though an outbreak did not materialize. And they all kind of laughed. They snickered and said, oh, that'll never happen. And I said, well, then why put it in the document? If it's not a concern, you know, if we're putting imaginary language in, then why don't we put something about a leprechaun flying over a rainbow to a pot of gold? Because, you know, if it's just imaginary. So I remember back then saying things like that, and now here we are. And for you, I'm sure, you know, it's the same kind of thing. I know I can remember over the years hearing the kind of what I would call the frustration and exhaustion in your voice. This is frustrating trying to communicate to people when they really don't, we're speaking different languages effectively. You're trying to communicate in love to your fellow American, for example, and they just don't get it. And so with the email and the communication and stuff, I will say that I have been remiss, I guess, and I need to be better about that. So my apologies to everyone. But, you know, it's overwhelming, as I'm sure you can relate.
Well, it'd be nice to include your voice from time to time.
Absolutely.
Strategy sessions, because you are knowledgeable. And you're also quite tech savvy. And I suppose, I don't know, I once used to imagine that it was going to be the techies that were going to save us, you know, mm-hmm. from ourselves.
Yeah.
And now I'm not so sure
at all.
I don't think the doctors are going to save us. I don't think the attorneys are going to save us. The politicians, the captains of industry. I think it boils down to the individual. It always has.
Mm-hmm.
And more and more, I think I'm seeing that unless we start reconnecting with ourselves first and then with each other, secondly, and together with, you know, the real world, reality.
Yeah, yeah.
We're toast. We're just toast. And it's not going to get any better, and particularly because I see the very serious, deleterious health effects of this technology unfolding, enveloping all of us more and more every day. It's quite distressing for me.
I couldn't agree more, and that's what the Facebook shift to Meta represents to me, is exactly what you're talking about. I mean, it's digital totalitarian subjugation and annihilation of mankind.
Well, I think we've summed it up very well together, but thanks for taking the call. I'm not much of a caller these days anymore because
I really appreciate it.
I recognize I'm probably speaking a language that people don't relate to, and so I just don't waste my effort. But if we can reconnect, that'd be nice. And I'll give my regards to everybody there at RBN and to Julie and Mike as well.
So before you go, couple of questions. What is the best way to exchange? You know, also I have to say one of the troubles with my email, and I have again not been vigilant about sorting this out. So I maintain my own server, and the Googles and the Microsofts and everybody, you know, because stuff goes out on that server or comes in on that server that is not politically, you know, correct. Gmail and Hotmail and Yahoo seem to reject that stuff often. And so, again, that's part of the frustration. I know that Brian, one of the, you know, I sent them something recently, and I know that didn't get to them. So that also happened. So what's the best way to get in touch with you?
Well, you have my phone number, I think, in your contact list, and I'm also on Skype.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's one thing. I do have the Gmail account. It's the second one I've had because I don't want to pay them any money. I had a Proton Mail account. They want money, so I'm not going to give it to them.
Yeah.
And I have my oldest account is my Yahoo account, as far as email is concerned, but you know, more and more, I'd rather hear someone's voice because, you know, I've been a student of language for years. You know, I don't know if you've ever heard of Walter Ong or Charles Sanders Peirce, but
I don't think so.
I mean, Walter Ong spoke very clearly about how our actual ability to communicate is watered down and despoiled. Mm-hmm. Simply by going from oral to written text communication, and then you have the intercession of the television media, and now the internet. So we're getting further and further estranged.
Mm-hmm.
And not only ourselves, but each other. You know, at some point we have to ask ourselves, well, what do we even have any original thoughts anymore?
Yeah.
So anyway, those are the things that concern me, and because, you know, I see myself, I don't have children, but I see myself as not wanting to hurt in any way the dreams of that little boy, that little girl,
mm-hmm.
that had dreams about how they were going to navigate this life. And this is what I see happening more and more. These youngsters will... well, they're not going to have the life that we had. they're not going to have any true freedom of choice about anything. There will be no exercise of free will or personal autonomy. They're going to essentially be data dots in the cloud. They're going to be victims of social impact investing schemes and the like.
Yeah. Well, and I would say it's, you know, even more sinister than that. Ultimately, it's the annihilation that is in view with the transhumanist, posthumanist agenda. And, you know, in simple terms, in war, you gather intel. You do recon and you gather intel first so that you don't go in blindly. And to me, again, that's what this whole meta initiative represents. It's just astonishing. It's happening out in public view, and you still can't convince people of the subjugation that's happening. I have another question for you if you can hang around, Lark.
Okay.
I guess we're headed into a break. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
find my own world.
Welcome back. You know, H.L. Mencken mentioned that he thought 80% of the human race goes through life without ever having a single original thought. That was back in, I think, the 50s. I think that was Minority Report. And it's probably much worse now. I mean, Alan Watt was telling us for decades that we were being driven to a point of Egyptian-like hieroglyphics of that level of Orwellian linguistic minimalism where, you know, one person can't communicate danger to his neighbor. You can't send the signal. They can't receive the signal. And, you know, we talk about this stuff again. I mean, I've talked about the Dunning-Kruger stuff and how David Dunning calls it the anosognosia of everyday life. You just, you know, you don't know what you don't know. But I appreciate your call, Lark, and I agree connecting. I apologize for not being better about that, and I will be better about that. My question was if you had any comments on last week. I was really trying to kind of sum up what communitarianism represents in my mind. I agree with what you say, you know, and others have said about the capitalist-communist merger, which I think was the point of Larry McDonald's remarks about the super capitalist-communist system. I think he may have been ahead of his time, so to speak, on that. But last week in particular, trying to sum up communitarianism as the ethos of pathological evil and, you know, arousing eros to stimulate pathos to lead people to this ethos of a panopticon of pathological evil.
Well, I thought that was very well stated when I heard that from you. When we talk about eros, pathos, and ethos, we're talking about appeals to these are just universe. These are like sales pitches in a sense.
Exactly.
And that's why I made a study of marketing, because I thought it was important after I closed my company down, because I wanted to learn how the big boys on Madison Avenue approach things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of my heroes was a man named Perry Marshall out of Chicago. He got rich with the internet. He pioneered SEO, for example. And now he's put up the big face of Harvard. Check it out sometime.
What was it? You were muffled there at the end.
Perry Marshall and George Church. These people are looking at the joining together of Darwinianism and intelligent design.
Right. You know, that's kind of where I was headed, actually, with all this stuff. Funny you say that. You know, like I said, interoception, I'll get back to that probably tomorrow. And I don't know, for whatever it's worth, sounding the alarm. Lark, much, much appreciated. Thank you, sir, for calling in. I appreciate the opportunity to chat with you.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
You're welcome. That'll do it for today's broadcast. Folks, take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer: excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.